radio station anywhere. We are LA Talk Radio at latalkradio.com.
You're listening to LA Talk Radio Channel 1. To call in, dial 323-203-0815. That's 323-203-0815.
You're listening to Dave's Good Vibration Station with Dave Cohen, right here on LA Talk Radio.
This is Dave's Good Vibration Station on LATalkRadio.com, world's most listened to internet talk radio station. I'm your host, Davy Crockett, and we got the one and only Josh in the studio. How you doing, my brother?
In Los Angeles, California!
And there he is, the one and only, and we got... Ready for it? Remy Bark, how you guys doing? Oh,
how we doing, folks?
Such a blessing. Can I tell you, ladies and gentlemen, how blessed we are to be sharing and swirling in this energy in our studio today. Oh, my goodness. What a phenomenal lineup we have for you guys. And how blessed we are to be here. How you guys doing today? What a good song. Once again, that is Real Boy. You can check them out, OurHouseRecords.com, that is their record label. Also, RealBoy.com, check them out on Facebook, SoundCloud, Reverb Nation, any of those, sound websites. You can find them. Check them out. They're real good. They are friends of ours, and we support them. They support us. It's awesome. Kind of like how we are in the studio. We all support each other, right, guys?
Absolutely.
That's why I'm going to kick you out. Get out.
All right, I'm leaving.
I don't support you emotionally, and I think you have problems.
Yes.
I'm totally kidding. That is the opposite of why we're here and what the show is about. As you know, and if you don't, you'll know now, Dave's Good Vibration Station is about anything and everything to raise your vibration. And what we mean by that is in our heads, in our brains, every thought that we think has a frequency to it, has a vibration, it has a megahertz, right? Exactly. It's like, exactly. Wow. So, that is just, megahertz is a way of defining what a vibration is or what a frequency is and how you can measure a frequency is through megahertz. But with each thought that we have, it emits a vibration, which has a megahertz. And with that said, thoughts are things, and what you think is what you get. That is why we are here on this beautiful, blessed Sunday of December 23rd, 2012.
2 days after the end of the world.
Yes. Yeah. Who would have known that we would be here? I'm totally kidding. I knew the whole time. Oh, goodness. What a wonderful, wonderful vibration. Josh, how you doing today, brother?
I'm doing well.
Yes.
David.
Yes.
I was watching the news yesterday.
Okay.
And they were showing people dressed up in foil preparing for the end of the world.
Wonderful.
I had a pretty good laugh.
It's exciting.
Yeah.
It's exciting.
It is pretty funny.
Ramishka, how you doing, brother?
I'm good. I'm always good.
That's good, man. That's good. Yeah. Anything new and exciting in your life?
You know, I was expecting a lot crazier things to happen.
Yeah.
December 21st.
You know, I was too.
I was expecting, like, mass suicides.
Word.
Like,
yeah.
People just going completely insane.
Totally nutso, baletto.
I was expecting to lose my TV signal.
That's yeah, what I was that's expecting.
Really?
I was expecting that too, actually.
That's funny, dude.
Because Josh told me that's going to happen.
That's funny. Okay, let me just throw this out here, guys. So, the show. But, hey, hi. Today we're going to be talking about anticipation. That is why. Inspired by December 21st, 2012. Now, let me explain Right. The world has been anticipating for this date. It's 2 days later. We're still here. Everything's gravy. And we're happier than ever. Let me explain. As you know, if you guys are avid Vibration Station listeners, which I know you are, and if you're not, you will be. We are big supporters and fans of the idea that we are coming into an age of enlightenment. Meaning, not necessarily, you know, it could be a wide range of things. You don't necessarily have to believe that, like, oh, something in the universe is changing. If you want to, cool. If you don't, cool. But what we are saying is that this time of change and this time of transition is an opportunity for you to become more of who you want to be, regardless of whether there is something going on in the astros or not, whether it's all just the same and it's just another beautiful day in the neighborhood, a beautiful day in the neighborhood, a beautiful day in the neighborhood. Thank you, Queen Latifah.
Yeah, Queen Latifah.
Regardless, what we are saying is this time of transition is an amazing opportunity to be more of who you want to be and to follow your excitements and to define more of who you really are. That's all you need to look at this opportunity as. Just to find more of who you really are. So the reason why we're talking about anticipation.
Participation.
The reason why we're talking about anticipation today is, well, everybody had an idea. Everybody had a philosophy or, you know, a prediction of what's going to happen on that day, 2 days ago. Nothing's going to happen. Everything's going to happen. Meteors are going to come down, you know. Everybody had a different idea. Well, the fact of the matter is, we're here. I'm happier than I've ever been in my entire life. And I'm super blessed to be sharing this time with you guys. And I hope that you guys are super blessed to just be in this just blissfulness, man. It's about blissfulness is what it is. Do you guys agree? You're like, no. No, I'm kidding. I'm messing with you guys. What I'm saying is the idea of, okay, let's get back to topic. We're talking about anticipation today. And what I mean by talking about anticipation is we are going to be hitting certain aspects of things in your life that you can anticipate for, but how to approach them, the proper way to approach them so they can manifest. And so you can harness and so you can grow this garden of experience into exactly the way that you want to experience it. And that is depicted through the way that you perceive it and the way that you think about it, right?
That was beautiful.
Thank you, brother. I appreciate it. So, Remy, I have a situation for you. I'm just going to kind of throw for the listeners out there what exactly, you know, through example, what we're doing here.
Go for it.
So, Remy, you are a UFC fighter, okay? Let's just say you're a UFC fighter.
Okay.
Right? You have won many battles, but you've also lost, right? You have a big fight coming up, right? And this guy is, he's equally good, but he just recently took down one of the top UFC fighters, right? In like a match. But you guys have the same rating, everything's, but like just by luck of whatever, the guy trained more or whatever, he took down one of the top UFC fighters, right? Next weekend you're fighting him. Do you know what I'm saying? So you have this anticipation, you have this like oh my god, like what if, like, you know what I'm saying? Now, in this moment, in this scenario, we have like a few possible ways of looking at this. Remy, what are the few possible ways that you could be looking at this? Number one is obviously, holy shit, he just took down Chuck Liddell. Like, yeah. Whatever, you know. Like, one, you know, like, what do you think? You know, what's going to be going through your head?
Well, I mean, in that perspective, like, anticipation definitely is going to get you.
Right.
You know, a little bit more hyped than worried.
Right.
Because he just took down Chuck Liddell.
Yeah.
Chuck Liddell is a beast.
Yeah, word.
You know, and it's but at the same time, if you do kind of calm your nerves, maybe you'll have a better fight.
Yeah.
Maybe if you don't take the factor of anticipation into it.
Yeah. Word. Or I mean, because I feel like anticipation could be a positive or a negative depending on how you view it.
But I feel like in this general, you know.
Totally. What you exactly.
Just, you just gave to me.
Exactly.
I think it's a negative.
Exactly. It totally is.
It messes with your, it clouds your vision. You know?
It totally does. It absolutely does. So what I guess we're saying here is, in a scenario like that, right, you can, you're obviously going to be faced with a sense of fear, right? A sense of vulnerability because, oh my God, you're vulnerable. This dude just took down Chuck Liddell, you know, and you're fighting him. Like, but what I'm saying is with anything, even with, and the reason why I use a fight is because a fight is symbolic for, you know, overcoming something within yourself. There's multiple aspects of the human consciousness and the human ego construct and the spirit and the mind and all these different things. But what I'm saying is we're constantly fighting within ourselves. We're constantly fighting to find what works for us, what suits for us. So the reason why I use a fight in general is because there is obviously going to be one that overrules the other. Now, the importance of that is letting one, right, like letting one go, letting one like not be, okay, allow it and view a fight as like you're in your head, you're like fighting to find like some serenity in fighting Chuck Liddell, right? You're trying to find in your, or not Chuck Liddell, but the dude that just, whatever, in your head, you're trying to find some peace of mind when you're knowing you're going into this battle. Well, what I'm saying is like, instead of looking at it and being like, holy shit, I'm walking into, you know, a death cage, dude, you know what I mean? But instead of looking at it like that, view yourself. It's the way that you view yourself and the way that, like, you place yourself on the podium next to these people, right? So, for example, if you are, you know, this big UFC fighter, but this guy just took down number one, in your head, you may get this pedestal, right? You may get this like, well, he's above me, right? Well, that automatically right there is, bam, like swiping all of your empowerment in the fight. You're going to lose. Before even fighting, before even seeing the dude, in your head, you're already giving it up. You're like, well, he just beat Chuck. If he can beat Chuck Liddell, then obviously I can't beat him.
Right.
No, dude, it's not about that. Do you know that some of the strongest, literally, and you guys can look this shit up on YouTube if you don't believe me. Dude, some of the strongest fools, literally the strongest, like most powerful fools on the planet, like fools, people. Yeah, dude, these fools, they're the most powerful fools. Are, I'm not even kidding, like these like yogi monks, dude. That like, there's this video, I'm not, I swear, I know you guys are like, Dave, you're such a fucking hippie. I'm like, I don't care. No, I'm serious. I'm serious. There's these fools, okay? These guys that use their chi, right? And I'm not even kidding. They try to like these fighters are like trying to like fight these dudes, like try like hitting them and stuff. And like they just like literally the second they like touch them, they're like, whoa, they get like shot back. And then the other guys are just laughing. They're like laughing, but they're these old yogi dudes. And then they explain, they're then interviewed after. They're like, what? Like, how'd that happen? And then they start to explain how there's like, there's different centers of the body and different energy centers. And if you like learn how to control them, you can actually like use them in like magnets. Meaning that like, if you can, if there's a person that is coming at you with force, you can actually like counteract that energy by using like magnetism to where it's like pfft, like magnets that like won't come together, you know what I mean? So he's like it's simple physics is what the yogi dude was talking about. He's like it's simple physics. He's like you just reverse the magnetism of the energy and the fool can't touch you. But that's what I'm talking about. The idea that it's all the way we look at it. You know, it's all the way. No, I'm not saying that we're all going to go out and like be yogis and use our, you know, start moving shit with our minds, straight Jedi modes. What's up, Luke Skywalker? But what I'm saying is that we have the ability to alter our anticipation. We have the ability to change that fear of going into that fight with the dude that just beat Chuck Liddell. Josh, how you doing, brother?
I'm listening to David, and okay, all right.
Okay.
I want to talk about anticipating fear.
Okay.
Okay. You were talking about getting into the cage mm-hmm. with Chuck Liddell, anticipating fear.
The dude that just beat Chuck Liddell, so yes.
First, what goes through your mind, what goes through your mind, you're anticipating fear, right?
Right, exactly.
I think I'm going to be scared. I'm scared right now.
Right.
How do you overcome that?
Right.
How do you overcome that feel?
That's what I'm asking you, brother.
Okay. There are some cool techniques.
All right.
Some really cool techniques. Technique number
one.
Deep breaths.
Mmm. Word. Breathing. Control breathing.
Your number
That's super
one
good.
Goal
yeah.
is to keep your heart rate down. You keep your heart rate down,
yeah.
less blood is rushing.
Right.
Okay? Your pulse goes down. You're more calm. You're not as nervous. Okay? That's rule number one. Rule number two. You are trying to get that sense of fear out of your mind.
Right.
Now, how do you do that? How do you get fear out of your mind, David?
Follow rule number one and breathe.
Follow rule number Follow rule number one and breathe. But also...
Yeah, what else, Josh?
Picture yourself winning.
Yes!
Picture yourself on that podium holding that medal.
Yes!
I kicked his ass!
Yes!
I kicked his ass!
Thank you, Josh. Yes! Beautiful! Beautiful. I love the passion.
It makes you hungry.
It does.
For that number one spot.
Now
makes you hungry.
Now let's not get our egos involved.
No, let's not get our egos get involved. Our ego. But it's good to picture yeah. yourself winning.
But see, it's not even the ego. It's
totally.
Even if you've ever done any sort of martial art.
Yeah.
At the end of it. If you ever train, I'm not even talking about like professional. I'm talking about
Word.
Just like if you just like enjoy it as a hobby, you know.
Yeah, yeah, for sure, man.
At the end of it, your trainer will always tell you, put your hands up, you've won.
Yeah. Word.
Or you'll do some sort of bow where like, you know what I mean? Like
totally.
Something where you're getting praise that you've already won.
Yes, exactly, dude.
And that's the whole thing.
Exactly.
That's the psyche of you've already won. There's nothing else, you know what I mean?
Exactly.
So you've accomplished it.
Totally, man. And I'm such a firm believer in that. And something that's actually quite synchronous, I didn't even think about this, just came into my head now. About visualization and manifesting and creating things and seeing them in your head before they already happen and whatnot, right? Well, I'm in the process right now of carving my own didgeridoo, right? But in this, there's obviously a few ways to hollow out a didgeridoo and make one. If you guys are not familiar with what a didgeridoo is, it's a large tree trunk is what it is. Well, I'm using a tree trunk, but it's like a thin tree trunk, but like a large stick, right? So just envision that in your head, about five to 6 feet tall. It can be anywhere from like 4 to 8 feet if you want. They can be however long you want. But what happens is you carve out the middle. Usually what people do is they split them in half, and then they'll carve out each side and then glue and bond them and bind them back together. But what I'm doing, simply because I'm trying to do it a different way, I don't want to split the wood in half and blah, blah, blah. I just want to drill a hole through it. But what I've been told and what people have said is that is like really difficult to do without breaking the didge, because it's super sensitive. And when you're messing with the center of the didge, it's easy to make it, you know, you can crack a piece of wood on the inside and then the whole thing's done, you know. But the idea is I was reading this forum. This website of how to properly build a didgeridoo by hollowing it out without having to split it in half. And there's this gentleman, check this out, guys. There's this guy who says he's a professional didgeridoo maker. He says that when he makes his didgeridoos, oh, and he doesn't split them in half. He's like, he's known for not splitting them in half. He just drills, he chisels, ta 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 ta, with like a hammer and a little chisel down the center. And then he has like 6 foot chisels that he like gets in. He talks about it and stuff. He says it's all about the angle. But he goes, this is what he talks about. He goes, when I'm chiseling the didgeridoo, he goes, when I'm creating it, every single hit that I make, I'm envisioning this didgeridoo becoming a didgeridoo. He's like, every single that I make, he goes, I know that I'm getting one step closer to completing a beautiful, beautiful piece of art. Right? Now, the idea behind that is like, it's so easy to crack a didge, especially if that's the only way that you're going to make it is like chiseling straight through it. You're going to crack some shit. But the idea is that he's so confident and he's so like he has the ability to just imagine it and like see it. And he says that every single time it comes out flawless. And he goes that he can feel in his body, like he allows himself to really like connect and visualize this. He says that he can feel it in him when he's chiseling where that's like, don't go there, don't go there. He's like, you get really in tune with it. You know what I mean? You kind of have to if you think about it, because then if you know, you're going to, but he's like, you get in tune and he goes, like, you start to feel just like you start to know where to go. And like, it's just come second nature. It's like, but you totally become one with what you're doing and like the piece of art that you're working with. But he goes, you can't do it without envisioning. So I wholeheartedly agree with you guys. Envisioning is the number one tool for overcoming fearful anticipation, right? Envisioning the opposite of that fear. Folks, ladies and gentlemen, listeners, lovers, friends, joyous people of the world, we love you all. If you guys want to call in live on the air, you can do so. That's 323-203-0815. Once again, that number is 323-203-0815. If you are just tuning in with us today, congratulations on being alive and beautiful. Also, we are talking about anticipation. We're talking about how to, number one, get rid of negative anticipation, right? We're also talking about the way to perceive anticipation to benefit you the best.
Now, what goes hand in hand with anticipation? David, do you know the answer to that question?
Anticipation, maybe.
What, fear? No.
Doubt?
No.
Excitement?
No.
What?
Desire.
Ah.
Desire, ladies and gentlemen.
Let's hear it.
The most important element for desire is positive anticipation.
Really?
Indeed, one name for pleasurable anticipation is excitement. I got that really quote. That really good quote off the internet, and I thought it was a really
that's awesome
interesting thing to talk about. For example,
okay,
it mentions sex.
Okay.
Ooh.
Okay.
There we go. Sex has a major cognitive component. The most important element for desire is positive participation. So there you go. That's how we got the quote out of there.
That's bourbon.
Right when it mentions desire, it goes right to sex. Anticipation is the central ingredient in sexual desire.
Say that one more time. Anticipation is the central ingredient in sexual desire.
Yes. How awesome is that?
So let's see. 1 sec. Anticipation.
No, I mean, it definitely makes sense. That,
okay.
You know.
Yeah.
If you're going to have sex, there's obvious anticipation.
For sure. I'm like trying, for a moment, I was trying to like, you know when you hear something and like the words just are words and they don't have any like, but then you're like, oh, okay, that was me. Go on. Thank
brain
you,
fart.
Remy.
Brain
yes,
fart.
Brain fart.
Got it. Okay, well, I mean, yeah, no, it totally makes sense. And what is sex except for desire? You know?
Love.
The desire to show your love physically.
Yes, yes. I'm I'm kidding.
you wanna process your love physically, and obviously there's gonna be anticipation with that. You're gonna be nervous. You're gonna be excited, and those are both, in my opinion, anticipation, nervousness and excited.
Oh yes.
When you desire something, you also anticipate. When I look at a donut, I desire it.
Right.
I anticipate myself eating it and
right.
enjoying myself.
Right.
Reaching that creamy filling.
So anticipation, just to like, I mean, obviously we all understand the definition considering we've been talking about it for 25 minutes. But what I mean, like, I guess like anticipation would be like, okay, I'm trying to find just like a, like any old like definition. Okay, Josh, there's a girl. There's a girl that Josh likes, right? There's a girl that
yeah
that Josh is fond of.
Yeah, I just remembered something really funny, but keep going. I'll mention it later.
You want to fill us in, Josh?
Yeah. Remy and I, growing up as kids, we did a lot of stupid stuff. David was growing up with us as kids as well. We always desired and anticipating doing something really,
doing
really,
something the
really
dumber, the better.
The dumber, the better.
Beautiful.
So I thought it was really fun. I just had a
I love it. I love
flashback.
It.
So we desired to play with fire. You can already see where this is leading to. We took a little bit of gas and we put it on my driveway and we're like, dude, what's gonna happen?
This.
What's gonna happen if we light my driveway on fire? Gee, I don't know, David. Let's light my driveway on fire. Long story short, we have an angry neighbor coming up and yelling at my dad, saying they get two dumbass kids on the driveway anticipating fun when you can burn down the whole house.
weren't we like 8 or something? Like
I don't know.
And actually, leading back to fire, me and Josh had an experience with fire too.
We still have
fire,
experiences with fire.
Look.
Yeah, I want to hear this one.
Look,
yeah.
When boys are little, they're like cavemen.
They are.
Okay.
They are.
Like, oh, fire.
Yeah, dude, straight
fire
caveman,
good.
Dude. Yeah, straight hitting shit.
Fire good until it burns your fingers and you almost burn down your house.
Yeah, before Remy and I discovered girls, we were just playing with fire.
What else are we going to do? Right?
Dude, before girls didn't have cooties, right?
Yeah, like, right? No, it'd be when girls did have
cooties. Yeah, that's right, yeah.
Dude. But anyway, we were like burning this piece of paper in my old apartment.
Oh shit, I remember this.
And
oh god.
So I kept burning this paper and I was holding the paper
indoors in the apartment.
Yeah,
oh, okay.
Yeah.
Go on.
And you know, the fire goes up and higher and it reaches my fingers and I drop the paper and it falls onto my carpet.
Oh.
And I'm like, "What?" Like, I don't even know what to do, and then I just like step on it and then it leaves like a giant black hole in
there. Right.
So
dude,
my parents were mad.
Right, but like that could have gone ultra bad.
It could have been really bad.
That could have gone like super ultra
because
mega bad.
Because there was a second of when it fell on the floor that me and Josh just stared at it and were like, what?
You anticipated your house burning down.
Yeah, we anticipated of what are we going to do next.
Yeah, word, yeah.
And then I was like, I'm stepping on it, I can't do this.
Yeah. Oh, man.
It's just ridiculous.
It's, man. Kids just say the darndest things. No, it is fascinating. That's funny, guys. That's funny. But even in a situation with little kids, right? With like little like not even like 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9 year olds, 10 year olds, dude, 13 year olds. I don't even care. Dude, 30 year olds, people. No, I'm kidding. Dude, 100 year. Dude, 400 year old people.
Hobbit years.
They're
Hobbit
anticipating
years.
Death. No, so like, I mean, there's, it's just, it's fascinating. Like the array of ways.
I like the sound of that.
Thanks, man. New album, Array of Ways. The array of ways that you know, anybody can. We are constantly anticipating for things, you know, every single moment of every single day. You know, for example, shit, I know that at the end of the show, I'm going to anticipate my ratings and hope, you know, I'm going to say, you know, and I'm constantly anticipating what food I'm putting in my body and is it healthy? And, you know, I'm trying to get on the whole healthy thing and do that. But it's just what, guys, what we're trying to say. And I know that, you know, every week we do revolve around the same idea of positivity, hence Dave's Good Vibration Station.
Boom.
But each week, you know, it's we hit a different aspect of positivity and of changing your thought process. Because I know that when I say anticipation and, you know, let go of your fear and let go of your doubts, it sounds very similar. You guys, wow, deja vu. But it's similar because it's all connected, but it's different because it is a different aspect. It's a different facet of the consciousness. So, in anticipation and in the multiple infinite ways and experiences and opportunities that you guys as people have to anticipate and think and excite, get excited about things and manifest and create for yourself, we are just instilling within you the belief that you really can create anything that you want for yourself, right?
Creating your own reality.
Yes,
David mentioned that to me the day before the end of the world.
There you go.
David Cohen, this host over here, says his own words right now.
All
right. You create your own reality.
It's true. I just said it, and I'm going to say it again. Josh just said it. Thank you, Josh. I agree, guys. And that's the big thing. I mean, that's the big thing with everything, is whether you choose to empower yourself and to take total control of your thoughts, your actions, your wants, needs, desires, the things you don't wish to serve yourself with anymore. And it's really defining that for yourself. Do you anticipate fear? Answer that for yourself. Do you anticipate happiness, joy, laughter? I don't know. Yeah, Remy, I'm digging it, bro.
Let me say one thing.
Yeah.
I feel like sometimes, you need to anticipate fear. Because
yes,
if you don't, you will die.
Okay.
It's simple. Because you don't anticipate fear before you jump in front of a moving truck, then you will die. Because you will not fear that and you will just do it. And then
I see
that it's not very good for you.
I see. Okay. Right, so we're kind of going to bring this back around as to like... Fear has its place.
Absolutely.
Right, I see.
As do all emotions.
As do all emotions. Absolutely. I wholeheartedly agree. Yes. For example, what Remy's saying is like, if you didn't anticipate that fear, then you would not know that you're doing something bad. Is that kind of what you're saying? Like,
yeah, exactly.
Like, if you didn't have that fear to anticipate and to feel and to experience, then you would not know that outcome is ultimately going to lead you to your death.
Yeah, you would either right. end up hurting yourself or doing something that you're going to regret.
I see. Wow. I like that, Remy. I like that, man.
Thanks, man.
Good riddance, brother. Hey, guys, if you're just tuning into the show, feel free to email me live on the air. That's Dave's Good Vibration Station. Oh, I lied to you. It's Dave's Vibration Station at gmail.com. I'm always just so used to saying the show
name. Liar!
It's Dave's Vibration Station at gmail.com. Once again, that's Dave's Vibration Station at gmail.com. You can also call in live on the air. That's 323-203-0815. Once again, 323-203-0815. If you guys are just tuning in with us, we are talking about anticipation and how to alter your anticipation from a negative perspective into a positive perspective, and how your anticipation is ultimately, feeding the reality in which you are choosing to experience. We are also talking about how every emotion has its place in anticipation. For example, Remy brought up the wonderful wonderful example of
explanation.
Explanation is do you want to say it again just for the listeners to...
Every single emotion that we carry and have, it plays a specific role.
It does. For example, like fear.
Like fear.
Right.
Fear is there to show what you can and cannot do in order to harm yourself.
Yes, totally.
Or that will harm yourself.
And I like that, and I love that, because to be completely honest, I would have been ignorant enough to not even like think of that. And that's so true. It's totally right. It's totally right that everything has its place And you know, it's all the way that it's all the way that you choose to look at it. But then again, right? So we have like I know this is like totally out and wacko, but there is different ways of anticipating things. Like if you are about to jump off of a building, right? You understand
the outcome,
right? You understand what happens once you jump off that building. Well, to one individual who loves their life, that would be fearful, right? Being on top of a building and looking down and like, holy shit, I want to get off of here. You know, that's definitely, and that fear is what saves you. That fear is what stops you from just wanting to free fall, right? Because if I didn't know that the outcome was me splatting to the ground, I was ignorant to that idea, and all I knew that if I jumped off, I was going to fly and free fall, dude, I'd be jumping off buildings every day.
That's why birds do it, because they know they can fly.
Because they know they can fly, right? Dude, I just want to like, 50-foot wingspan, bam!
Right.
Just like, oh, excuse me, while my big white wings just bust out, swah!
Dude, I think that's every dude. Single human.
I know.
Like wish is just. I wish I could just fly. Like, who doesn't want to fly?
Right.
Unless you're a weirdo, then you.
Unless you're a weirdo and you're afraid of heights, lame. Not kidding. No, but I wouldn't be afraid of heights if you could fly.
Yeah, exactly.
Because then you're like grounded. Like you're like, dude, it's fine. I'm chilling. I'm flying. Wow. So we understand. Okay, so what I was saying is right. So there's that good anticipation of fear, which allows you to understand that, you know, there is a bad outcome here. But then I was also going to say for the individual that, you know, is choosing to end their life, right? Let's take an individual that's choosing, who's very depressed, very like ready to just ready to check back in, shall we say, check out. I like to call it checking back in, to be honest, because I think now we're checked out.
whoa,
that's a whole other show. Well, some of us are checked out.
I'm kind of confused. Are you saying checked out living in the
David, pay attention to me, goddammit. I'm trying to ask you a question and you're singing the Twilight song.
Hey, that's a good song.
All right, I'm trying to understand what check out. You're saying checking out, you're living in this life, or checking out, you're dead in the grave 6 feet under.
That's my opinion of checking out.
Yeah.
Is dying.
Totally. I feel it. No, I get that.
Checking in is like, yeah. Boom, back in reality.
You have your baggage, yeah. You know, you're moving into a house.
But yeah, what I'm saying, right? But what I'm saying, here we go. You guys ready? No. Checking back in is like coming back to source, right? We're like back in. Like right now, we're checked out. Because we're like, if we could get into it. We could get into this.
Is it because we're on the radio that we're checked out?
Yes.
Mind blown.
Yes, it is. You know what's really interesting to me? Have you guys heard of the magazine The Economist?
Yes.
Yes. Okay. Well, a dear friend of mine was over yesterday. We were hanging out, and he had The Economist. We were flipping through and just reading some things. And on the cover of The Economist, it was the Economist guide through hell or something. It's like funny, and they had like all these political figures, but it was like a joke, you know, it was like a joke sketch or whatever. All these political figures in hell, but like kidding around. Then it says like gluttony and like lust, and then like pride under like Obama, who's like on a boat, who's like going through like the river of hell. Like I don't know, it's like it's funny, but on the cover is a picture of the devil, right? But the devil on the cover of this magazine is holding The Economist, but holding that exact issue, like the guide to hell, right? And you can like see like, okay, so we're holding the magazine, but then the devil is holding the same magazine, but then on the magazine that the devil's holding, there's another devil holding another magazine, right? So it's infinite. It goes on forever and forever.
Those pictures have tripped me out ever since I was a little
kid. Right, dude? Super trippy. But here's the thing. My buddy Danny, who I'm hanging out with yesterday, Danny's like, he's like, dude, Does that mean that we're the devil? Obviously, like, I mean, like, not like we're the devil, but, like, does that mean that the illustrator, right, the illustrator who illustrated the cover, who obviously made the devil holding the magazine, was his intention, right? Did he anticipate for the reader to perceive that to be like, well, we're holding the magazine and then, like, the devil's holding the magazine? I think it's interesting because we were, talking about that. But it's all...
maybe I didn't even think about that. Maybe
no, because it's interesting to think about, because it's all perception and it's all the way that you look at it, right? Now, if this is so, where the illustrator was attempting to make a statement by saying, you know, if you're reading The Economist,
you're the devil.
But then it's interesting because then, like, they're pooping on themselves. You know what I mean? They're putting themselves down. Wow, it's interesting. It's I don't know. I just, like, felt compelled to say that for some reason.
Maybe it's all ratings. I mean,
right.
Honestly, people poop on themselves all the time to get money.
It's true.
For that money, dude, people will do anything.
Dude, Dave's Vibration Station seriously sucks.
Stop pooping, David.
I don't know.
David poops everywhere.
We just, like, get a check for, like, $30,000. Like, here, guys, we heard you bash, and we wanted to. From, like...
If that's the way the, like, world worked.
From McDonald's. To get it? With, like, you know, because it's so, like... Dank. So, what were you saying, Remdog?
Yeah, that was just it.
Right. How, yeah, people will ultimately, definitely, like, corporations will definitely put themselves down and, show... I would say that they would never put themselves down to the point where it would, like, hurt them, but they would put themselves down to the point where it brings them enough publicity to bring them more money, right?
It's all about ratings.
It's all about ratings.
If people want degradation, that's what they'll get.
Right. And explain to the listeners what degradation is.
The degrading of anything. If you degrade yourself and you get more viewers out of it, then, right, hey, that works. Let's just degrade ourselves.
That is crazy. That is insane.
A lot of Hollywood actors love that.
Right.
Ice Cube. I'm a bad motherfucker. I'm going to do a PG movie.
Yeah, right? Like, from shooting AKs to doing Disney movies with the family. So, so cute.
We should have him on the show.
Yes.
That's
Ice Cube,
funny.
Come on the show now.
Dude, if you can, email us. Sent. Dave's Vibration Station.
Ice Cube, email us.
That'd be awesome. But no, I feel you. You know, and once again, this ties into another show topic is, depending on the individual, you really can put a price on anything. You know what I'm saying? And that's sad. But you know, I'm sure that if you walked up to the average person and said, you know, what are you true to? What do you believe in? Like, what? Okay, here we go. So, you walk up to an average individual, right? And you say, do you believe that it's right to, I don't know, let's throw... Revy's laughing. That's funny. Do you believe that it's right to, do you know, let's say, like, for a girl to have an abortion, okay? I'm just, that's what...
Excellent topic.
That's was in my head, but I didn't want to say it.
That is a hell of a topic.
I kept looking for something else to say in my head. I kept, like, searching, like, David, don't say it. But I said it. Okay. So, if you take the average individual and say to them, right? Not... just take a guy, okay? No, take a girl.
Take them all.
Take a girl and come up to her and say, "Listen, there's a 16-year-old girl. Okay, let's do that. Let's say, okay. You come up to a woman, right? And then tell this woman that there is a 16-year-old girl, right? Who is having a child. And she does not want to have an abortion. She wants to keep the baby, right? But this woman, right, over here, this woman who, you know, we're talking to, this woman is against abortion, right? So this woman says, like no, like, you need to keep the baby, but this, right? So, okay, I know we're, like, all scatterbrained, so we're just trying to lay this out. I'm just trying to give, like, a little perspective, show how there is a price for people, maybe through an example. So there's a woman who they're offering this lady $1 million. That's what let's just get to the point, David. Jesus. Slap, slap. Get to the fucking point, Dave. God. Okay. They're offering this woman $1 million. If she chooses, right, she has the choice whether this little girl gets an abortion or not, okay? This little girl doesn't want an abortion. This little girl wants to keep the baby. But this lady, right, this lady is against abortions as well, okay? But then they come up to her. They say, listen, lady, we're going to give you $1 million if you choose to have this lady abort her baby. You're against abortion, and this little 16-year-old girl wants to keep the baby. Sure, yeah, 16, that's a whole other thing. You know, whoa, what are you doing, blah, blah. But the fact of the matter is, there's a woman who's against abortion. There's a 16-year-old girl who wants to keep the baby. But somebody, some outside source, is offering this woman, and this woman has control over whether this gets an abortion or not.
Let's say this woman's her mother, because I think that's okay. Who should have control.
Yeah.
Let's just say.
Thank you, Revy. What I'm saying is if they're offering like $1 million if you abort this, like, it's my question is what is the average individual going to say to that? What is the average person, given that circumstance, going to do?
Depends how strong your morals are.
Exactly. It depends on how strong your morals are. Of course. But I guess I'm asking for, like, the collective agreement.
Oh, the collective a-hole? He'll probably say, yeah, let's do it.
Yeah, right?
Yeah.
Right?
No, definitely.
Like, $1 million? Oh, what? It's just $1 million. I'll be set for life. You know, then there's a whole argument. Well, I'll be set for life, and this little girl she's 16, she has so much, you know. Well, I'll be set for life. Even though I'm against abortion, right? It's just crazy how everybody has their price. It's fucking fascinating. But I do believe that not everybody has their price. There's definitely people out there that have a sense of understanding for, you know, what morals are. Absolutely. Guys, this has been a phenomenal show. We've gone anywhere from anticipation to fear to
abortion.
To abortion. To people having their price. Back to abortion. I'm totally messing with you guys. But seriously, closing few statements for today's show. I do think it is super, super important, listeners, to believe in yourself. And before you have an instinctual anticipation for fear towards something, look at it as an opportunity. Understand it as an opportunity to grow, an opportunity to not experience fear, unless, once again, in Remy's situation, it serves you, right? It's helping you. It's protecting you, that fear. Do you guys know what I'm saying? Yeah, know what I'm saying? Shit, Boomhauer. I'm just messing, guys. Hey. This is Dave's Good Vibration Station. We are always sending you unconditional love, light, happiness, joy, and laughter from all corners of our spaceship that we broadcast from space. I'm your host, Davey Crockett. We got Josh
Josh the Money Pyro.
It was great.
Thank you, brother. Thank you, brother. We got the one and only Remy Barg.
Thank you very much, David.
Thank you, my brother. You guys are some amazing, amazing co-hosts. We love you unconditionally, and we'll see you next week.
Who am I to judge? I made some stupid choices too. Regardless, I'm just living it up. I'm blind to the negativity. Floating in a golden lotus, that's where I'll be. This experience is such a blessing. Motherfucker, stop asking questions. Your soul knows that this defeats the purpose. Close your eyes and let me be your words. Listen up, y'all, I miss those days. Chilling on the moon with the guitar, spitting phrase. But now, I'm in another days, unconditionally missing y'all. And all the silly games like when we used to play and see how fast we could smoke out of roar and burn our tree. But really, it was all about the good times.